Hello, my name is Vimer Dees, and this is a Class War Battlefield podcast, Addendum to Episode 21. Let's get started. The concept of abortion as a social illness has been alive since basically Roe v. Wade. The only thing that is understandable from evangelicals and Christians is that our society is on the wrong path. We need to reconnect with God. Now, in my last addendum, I explained how they had the right concept, just the wrong perception. Maybe it's backwards, actually, the right perception, the wrong concept. But I actually want to talk not about reconnecting with God this time. I want to talk about actually understanding it, understanding abortion to the point of eradicating it. See, to understand abortion so that we can get to the point of eradicating abortion, I'm not talking about outlawing it, because the reality is the only reason why abortion was made legal was because women were already getting them and some of them were dying. Now, of course, unfortunately, some of the callous and non-caring Christians would say, oh, well, that is their punishment for doing that. But we're becoming an increasingly conscious nation where we know that's just not true. We have the means to save them. We have the means of creating a healthy environment. I mean, the number of people who actually die from abortions now are significantly low. Obviously, God's not on his P's and Q's if this was God's divine will to kill these individuals because they were having abortions. The reality is, to understand abortion away from God is to understand the society that made it necessary. That made it necessary. It's striking to me that people don't see the connection between Roe v. Wade happening in the 1970s, right after the significant portion of the civil rights movement and the human rights movement, not necessarily the civil rights movement, but the human rights movement was over. I mean, you still had anti-war demonstrations, but really, by that time in this nation, the whole human rights thing, the whole human rights movement was kind of petering out. You know, it was on its decline, at least as a national priority. I find it striking that most people don't see this as an answer to our inability to create a just world and our inability to basically take the concept of equality and make it non-negotiable, to make it a human right. This is, to me, abortion was a way of saying, since we are not able to create an equal world, we must create a means of deciding whether or not to expand the world or not via people. In essence, we need a vehicle to allow spirits to opt out, or one spirit to opt out of coming into life and another spirit to opt out of bringing in a life. I mean, that's just, we hadn't graduated to the point of being spiritually conscious enough to understand that equality of external magnitude means a nurturing of internal self, which would create a person or personalities who were balanced and able to make decisions that would best fit themselves and the fetus in which they were carrying, or the potential fetus in which they would be carrying. I mean, one of the greatest things I was told by a professor of health was we could eradicate many of the social ills by being able to give people a shot of self-confidence. one of the greatest things I was ever told. And that stuck with me, because many of the people who I see with children, you can look in their faces and see an almost a sense of, I don't know how to even describe it. It's a sense of separation from reality and a sense of need, where the person needs something that this baby is providing. It's devastating to me when I see this, because I know what it's going to lead to. I know that the child is not going to be well taken care of, or they're going to be moderately taken care of. I mean, most young people who I meet who have kids had traumatic childhoods. They may not look at it that way, but when I talk to them and I start pulling it out of them, it's easy to see. Sometimes their parents were emotionally distant. Actually, a lot of times their parents were emotionally distant. Our society demands it. I mean, think about it quickly. Going to work, both parents are going to work. How are they going to have time to be emotionally engaged in their children? They're not. But so some of these people have emotionally disconnected parents. Some of them have one-parent homes where the mother was verbally or physically or psychologically abusive. A lot of young women are hiding secrets of sexual molestation. You know, they and a lot of men, too. They don't talk about it. I think it's probably more prevalent with men because men don't talk about it. But so, these are things that are going to it's going to negatively impact the emotional ability of that mother, of that father, to nurture that child properly. Moreover, then, the stigma, which I know a lot of people don't believe that it exists, but it does, the stigma that still is carried, especially in some communities, with children becoming pregnant too early, is also emotionally devastating. It's also psychologically fragmentating. It's isolating to these individuals. I mean, it's traumatic. And adults, particularly those who are of the Christian faith, don't necessarily see this. And they don't understand the emotional harm that's coming into existence by doing this. It creates a strain between mother and child or father and child. I mean, with men particularly, the internal fear of being a bad influence on one's child, of the internal fear of not being able to measure up, to be a good father, to be a good dad, is incredible. And a lot of women, particularly because they have their own daddy issues, openly flog, emotionally flog, and I'm talking about like a slave, like you would flog a slave, these individuals, because they abandon their children. They don't understand the depth of these emotions. They don't care about understanding them. I mean, let's be frank. Our society creates emotional robots where anger and frustration and dominance, particularly dominance, you can circle that one, is the natural reaction to everything that is emotional. Now, of course, people say, oh, well, I know people who fit differently in that, so I disagree with that. Yeah. There are definitely going to be exceptions to the rule. You're probably going to have 25 to 30% of the population, about one-third, who don't fit into that rule. But guess what? The majority, as I just said, still fit into that rule. This is what's happening to our young men, and we don't tend to think about that. I mean, we can have a discussion later about the whole pendulum swinging back and forth from, you know, men's rights to women's rights, but this also goes back to our consciousness, to our social and spiritual consciousness. We have to be better than that. So, other than those things that are creating kind of this this headway toward abortion. And, you know, truthfully, I say thank God to the young lady who realizes that they cannot take care of this child. And they are not emotionally ready to take care of this child. So they do abort him. I mean, I thank God for that, because ultimately what you're going to do is you're going to create a circle that continues for several generations. And we don't want that anymore. We need to become better than that. Another aspect of our society, I suppose, which increasingly plays a part in this, is the whole corporate culture. Now, I know, you've heard so many lectures, so you've read so much about this, and you're sick of hearing it, right? But I'm going to attempt to talk about something that most people don't talk about, I think at least. And that is how corporations, who are not people, reflect their non-personhoodness by saying sex, 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 sex. Forget about emotion, forget about love, forget about, you know, all of that sensual stuff that we may call spiritual intelligence or emotional intelligence. In essence, corporations who have no ability to feel, they have no ability to think outside of gold and money, they in essence say, we don't have the ability to think in terms of community and relationships. We don't have the ability to think in terms of personality and spirituality and all of these other things, because we are in essence nothing to do with that. The corporation is a separate entity from life. It is created, ironically, by us as to stand alone from the society and the community in which it supposedly exists within. So therefore, basically, what corporations are doing, and this is kind of the most ironic part about this, is they are looking at, and they are observing mankind and human relationships and trying to duplicate it on a mechanical level. Their whole concept and genning up of sex, 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 and sexualization of our children and what have you, it's ultimately going to lead to more abortions. Because, of course, as you sexualize more people, they begin to have more and more sex, and that creates more and more unwanted pregnancies. Now, of course, you're probably scratching your head saying, well, wait a minute, what does this have to do with abortion? The bigger picture, ladies and gentlemen, the bigger picture is when you start to understand and you start delving into what creates the need for abortions, then you start to see that it is a problem that's not just spiritual, it's not just godly, it's not just religious, it is one of social and spiritual consciousness. Basically, we don't have a society that honors spirituality, social consciousness. Basically, spiritual intelligence is not something that our society wants to understand or to recognize. Me personally, this has to do with capitalism. It has to do with our economic system. I mean, we basically, it's kind of ironic how we have organized our society. Everything is about machinery. It's about technology. It's about being part of this vast system that creates money. And that's what the system is made for. It's to create money. It's not to create personality. It's not to create personhood. It's not to create spirituality. It's not to create basically anything but money. So, of course, ultimately, you're going to get to a point where that system starts to, I don't want to say produce people, because the system did get us to this point, but ultimately I think the system actually requires that individuals create a means and a way to terminate a life for which they don't have the ability to take care of. I mean, it's an incredibly complex thing, but ultimately, one of the biggest problems with Christians and evangelicals is they don't want to see that bigger picture. They don't want to question the system in general, because if they question the system in general, then they have to question not only the people who run the economy, which so many of them believe capitalism is the greatest thing next to sliced bread, but they have to question people within their own churches who support this system and why those people support the system. And unfortunately, a lot of these individuals are autocrats. They would prefer to be, or I guess the proper term would be, they have authoritarian personalities. They would prefer for somebody to tell them how to live instead of to live in free will. It's traumatic to think about something like that, but it is the reality too. I mean, if they truthfully had to look at our society and say, oh, well, we have to fix this, 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 and this, that requires a lot of outside-of-the-box thinking. It requires a lot of individual effort, a lot of individual thought, and that requires denouncing people and saying, you know something, these people were wrong, and maybe I was wrong, and these are just things that right now aren't within the grasp of these individuals. And that's a shame, because we need these individuals to do this. I want to thank you for listening. This is Vladimir D. saying until next time.